Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Can you hear that crispness in my voice, Fancy Brian?
I can. There's a little bit of a joy in the air.
Well, not only am I joyful, I'm getting ready. I got a fine guest joining us at 3:30 today Central Time. You know, if you're listening outside the time zone. But he is Brigadier General, retired Jerome Jones. And the general, in preparation for our fine interview, I hope it's fine. Hope I don't blow it. I'm, you know, as a former, you know, specialist E4, that's way down the totem pole. That's just above private, but not above anything else. I would have had to salute a guy like this, right? And anyways, I asked the distinguished retired Brigadier General, what do you want me to call you, sir? Jerome. So we'll call him Jerome. You can call me Al. I'm going to call you Fancy Brian. How you doing, big guy?
I'm doing great, man. Lots of things going on, but I'm all right.
Well, I got Evan here with me in the world headquarters as well, just slightly screening the calls. And I got to think, somewhere out there in radio world, somebody might have watched or listened to the J6 last night. Somebody, one or two people, might have listened to the J6 last night. Probably didn't see it on Fox News, though. It was troubling. Now, I would remind people, I've been invited, yours truly, has been invited back on Fox News on my birthday this Sunday. And it's become my birthday tradition. They invited me last year on my birthday as well. And a few other times subsequent. And I keep threatening to blow it up and never get invited back. But I just was extended the topics for the Fox News hit this Sunday. You want to guess? Any guesses what they want to talk about?
January 6th and nothing else, right?
No! No January 6th.
Oh.
Why would you have a liberal on? Well, pardon me, a little tickle. Got the allergies. They're kicking my ass. Invited me on to talk inflation. You know, of course, that's Joe Biden's fault. What about inflation? What about inflation? I can't wait for CJ. What about inflation? And also, the danger to judges, you know, because we had the retired judge here in the state of Wisconsin murdered. And of course, someone apparently called the cops on themselves. They were, you know, feeling like they wanted to kill, like it was their life's mission to kill Brett Kavanaugh. And so anyways, Jesse Waters said, well, that could be a conspiracy at the highest levels of government. He's one of the Foxy News hosts. One of the more deranged ones, but, you know, it's a big crew. And my understanding is, Fancy Brian, although I did not watch the live Fox News coverage because I was watching the event, you know, the big J6 hearings last night, and you can always join us. If you got something to say, you better join us now before the fine lieutenant, oh, pardon me, didn't give him a promotion in real time, Brigadier General Jerome Jones, retired, joins at 3:30, but you can join right now, 844-967-2789. So I'm watching this thing in real time. And you know what my greatest concern was? It was the number of times they were saying malarkey or variances thereof. And I was, as a broadcaster, as an FCC licensee, I was a little concerned, you know, because we were broadcasting it live here on our network. And fortunately, we had our pal Evan there on a live board. And, you know, Evan, if we've learned anything, You got to ride the board the whole show, right? Never know what they're going to say. Never know when the former Attorney General of the United States is going to go on the air and say, you know, that assessment that the election was rigged, I told the president that was all malarkey or some variant thereof. Not suitable for FCC. But I heard it on CBS, and I heard it later in the evening on CBS, again spoken by one of the hosts. And I'm thinking, man, they got to liberalize what we do around here. Gosh darn it. Need some of Jeannie's good swearing words. So anyways, hour number two, the happy hour. James Santel, former U.S. attorney. Who else would we try to book on a Friday? Of course, our little buddy Dominic joining in hour two as well. And then the happier happy hour. We always take your grievances up around here. But gents, I got to tell you, my first impression, you know, it wasn't quite as captivating as Maverick. You know, the action scenes, they were a little bit slower. Although there were some action scenes, weren't there? But it was pretty damn good. And in case you missed any of it, or perhaps some of it got dumped because of the questionable remarks being made by a former attorney general or others, hell, Liz Cheney even swore once. Let's start with her. I got to tell you, I'm quite twisted today. Liz Cheney's got me twisted. I mean, I'm really starting to like this woman. How can you not respect what it is that she did last night at the January 6th hearing and her position, understanding she's going to lose her primary. She's going to lose her congressional seat. This is a painful choice. She is showing real sacrifice, certainly a political family, right? So Liz Cheney ending her political career effectively last night, at least as a Republican. And hell, you know, we like her now, but we don't want her. So here she is, a woman without a country, Liz Cheney, you know, during the opening statements of the J6 Select Committee hearing last night. Let's start from the top. Cut one, Trump started the fire.
President Trump summoned the mob, assembled the mob, and lit the flame of this attack.
Yes, he did. More from Liz Cheney, cut two.
On this point, there is no room for debate. Those who invaded our Capitol and battled law enforcement for hours were motivated by what President Trump had told them, that the election was stolen and that he was the rightful president.
It felt a lot like a, you know, sort of a litigator presenting to a grand jury, the court of the American people. More from attorney Liz Cheney. This part, we had seen some of the reporting. You know, Trump was kind of down for the whole chant thing, but this took it even a step further. Listen closely. Liz Cheney, cut three.
And aware of the rioters' chance to hang Mike Pence, the president responded with this sentiment, quote, maybe our supporters have the right idea.
They hang my own vice president. You know, because he's getting in the way. I mean, we're talking about big stakes, right? Retaining the presidency of the United States through any means necessary. So if the vice president's got to get hung, hurry up and hang him high already. More from Liz Cheney. I love this statement. She's talking about Republicans. Trump, he's moving on. The rest of you, the stink will stay on you. You're going to have like stink palm. You'll never wash that off. Cut number four.
I say this to my Republican colleagues who are defending the indefensible. There will come a day when Donald Trump is gone. Your dishonor will remain.
Yeah, that stench, that taint will not wash off. History's not going to judge the Republicans well. I think she singled one out. I don't know if we have sound of that. Scott Perry, Rep. Scott Perry, right? Went to the president specifically seeking a pardon. And it was referenced directly by Liz Cheney from her, you know, sort of prosecutorial stance there last night. A little bit more of the, you know, current congresswoman from Wyoming, Liz Cheney, Dick's daughter, played for the people, maximum danger, cut five.
When a president fails to take the steps necessary to preserve our union, or worse, causes a constitutional crisis, we're at a moment of maximum danger for our republic. Some in the White House took responsible steps to try to prevent January 6th. Others egged the president on. Others who could have acted refused to do so.
So how do we make sure it never happens again? Here's what Liz Cheney thinks. Cut six.
As Americans, we all have a duty to ensure that what happened on January 6th never happens again, to set aside partisan battles, to stand together to perpetuate and preserve our great republic.
Fancy Brand, we got to sneak to break, don't we? I'd like to sneak some more sound in here. We got time. Okay, let's play the Bill Barr, the Attorney General. Hopefully not the profane version. Cut seven.
Repeatedly told the president in no uncertain terms that I did not see evidence of fraud.
More from Bill Barr, the Attorney General. Cut eight.
You can't live in a world where the incumbent administration stays in power based on its view, unsupported by specific evidence, that the election, that there was fraud in the election.
And one more, and this one had a sting. Ivanka Trump testifying she trusts Bill Barr more than her own daddy. Cut nine.
It affected my perspective. I respect Attorney General Barr. So I accepted what he was saying.
I accepted what he was saying, meaning I believe Bill Barr more than I believe my incestuous daddy. The one that, you know, wants to sleep with me. That's got to be a little awkward. Talking about an awkward Thanksgiving, it's not bad enough he's made sexual overtures about his own daughter publicly. Howard Stern, different places. But, you know, he's going after her. And I haven't seen the specifics, but I've seen a few of them. You know, sort of throwing his own daughter under the bus. Well, you know, it's time to, because Trump's got to self-preserve. We'll come back. He started the fight, according to Liz Cheney, Donald Trump. And I thought the legal case being laid out for the American people, I found the first hour the most effective. I mean, certainly that testimony from the cop, Edwards. She put a human face on the carnage. But I like the prosecutorial stuff. I like the case being made against the former president of the United States. He started the fire. Arson? Can we charge him with arson? Come back. More Devil's Advocate, the Friday edition, TGIF.
I think I did our country a great fire.
How does he explain it to his colleagues and family? They'll think he doesn't know how to wipe his ass properly.
You know, desire smells like that to some people.
Malarkey. The Devil's Advocates invented malarkey.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. We survived. It is Friday, people. And the January 6th had me, you know, feeling quite gleeful last night, I got to admit. I loved the case being laid out by Dick Cheney's daughter, Liz. I loved it. Loved it. I was like Chris Matthews. Got a tingle up my leg. Here is what Charlie Sykes used to be from, you know, WTMJ, Big Stick down in Milwaukee. You know him, changed his stripes, works for MSNBC, a little public radio. You know Charlie Sykes. Here were a few of his thoughts. Sykes has refashioned himself as something of a never-Trumper. And finally, I have some random thoughts, says Charlie Sykes. There are dazzling details. Liz Cheney methodically laid out the case and teased future revelations. Here's the quote. Aware of the rioters' chance to hang Mike Pence, the president responded with this sentiment. Maybe our supporters have the right idea. Mike Pence deserves it. And this, multiple other Republican congressmen also sought presidential pardons for their roles in attempting to overturn the 2020 election. Now let's pause for just a moment. If you're seeking a pardon, haven't you just confessed your guilt to a crime? Because, I mean, think about Kellyanne Conway. The alternative facts. You remember her. She's got the new books. Trump just tried to hand her a pardon. And what was her response? Why do I need a pardon? I haven't committed any crimes. So just take it. Do you think Ivanka's got a pardon in her pocket? Or maybe Jared? Or maybe some of these Congress people? I'm not clear that they have to make a public pronouncement that pardons have been extended. So that'll be a whole new chapter we get to play out this fall when we find out who did Trump pardon and not tell the world about. Oh, here's my pardon from the former, you know, for all the crimes I committed on January 6th. A little bit more from, you know, Charlie Sykes. The call is coming from inside the House. The hearing opened with testimony from one Trump insider after another. Bill Barr, Jason Miller, Ivanka, Jared. Over the series of hearings in the coming weeks, you will hear testimony live and on video, I'm quoting here, folks, from more than a half dozen former White House staff in the Trump administration, all of whom were in the West Wing of the White House on January 6th. Cheney said in the opening statement, more from Sykes, it was a seditious conspiracy that involved a violent attack on the Capitol. And more. Here's another bullet point. Mar-a-Lago was not a happy place last night. Trump seemed especially triggered by Bill Barr's testimony and lashed out on his Truth Social platform. A little bit of what he said. Bill Barr was a weak and frightened attorney general who was always being played and threatened by Democrats and was scared stiff of being impeached. How do you not get impeached? Do nothing or say nothing, especially about the obviously, and here's the all caps, rigged and stolen election, or put it another way, again, all caps, the entire sentence here, Fancy Brian, from Truth Social, the crime of the century.
Get impeached.
Yeah, everybody's doing it.
Some, I went up a lot in the polls when I got impeached.
Two times. The Democrats hit pay dirt with Barr. He was stupid, ridiculously said there was no problem with the election, and then they left him alone. It worked for him, but not for our country.
They hire usually good people.
And then, as Charlie Sykes points out, and then there goes Ivanka under the bus. Here's what Trump said about his own daughter. And I would point out he references his daughter as Ivanka Trump. He describes her as Ivanka Trump. Coffee girl, probably. Let's see. I'm reading this in real time for the very first time. I hope I don't, you know, trip or stumble, as I occasionally do. Ivanka Trump was not involved in looking at or studying election results. She had long since checked out and was, in my opinion, only trying to be respectful to Bill Barr in his position as Attorney General. And then in parentheticals, Trump adds, he sucked!
I said that if Ivanka weren't my daughter, perhaps I'd be dating her. You know?
He sucked. Exclamation point. You know, he really sucked. The testimonies from cops were powerful again, as Sykes points out. I couldn't believe my eyes. This, a quote from Carolyn Edwards, U.S. Capitol Police officer. There were officers on the ground. They were bleeding. They were throwing up. I saw friends with blood all over their faces. I was slipping in people's blood. I was catching people as they fell. It was carnage. It was chaos. I can't just even describe what I saw. More from Sykes. The Trump GOP is not bothering to refute the evidence that is piling up. Instead, the playbook seems to be delegitimize the committee, change the subject by talking about other things, Black Lives Matter, inflation, and whatever else they want me to talk about on Fox News this Sunday. This may be a savvy political play, but it is also a tell. Some things can't be defended. They can only be ignored. And unfortunately, the people who most needed to see this testimony and watch the videos were probably ensconced in their media safe places like Fox News, which did not carry the hearings. You know what, Tucker Carlson? Not only didn't they carry the hearings, they didn't carry commercials during Tucker Carlson's show. They went sans commercials, my understanding. I wasn't watching. They lost money to keep their audience blissfully uninformed of what was happening at the January 6th hearings. Seems like a neat trick. I watched Laura Ingraham last night. I should pull out my notes. Maybe a little bit later. I'll save them for when Dom gets here. And I'm watching Laura Ingraham. And then, in the middle of the Laura Ingraham show, they tossed it to break. You know, she's got another fine guest coming on next, but first, a little commercial break like we're about to take. Mike Lindell,
Mike Lindell, the primary commercial sponsor of last night's counter-programming of the January 6th, the My Slippers guy, you know, for indoor or outdoors, good for insurrections. Indoors or out. Come back. More Devil's Advocate. A fine guest. I'm going to call him General Jerome Jones.
You can't live in a world where the incumbent administration stays in power based on its view, unsupported by specific evidence, that the election, that there was fraud in the election.
Sorry to crush your hopes and dreams.
I am the very model of a modern major general. I've information, vegetable, animal, and mineral. I know the kings of England.
The Devil's Advocates. Because freedom.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Friday edition. I got a quick news update on the recently Trump-endorsed Republican gubernatorial candidate, Tim Michaels. Apparently, he has been allowed on the ballot, so, you know, we got that to look forward to. Also, we got a fine guest. He's joined live via Zoom. He is retired Brigadier General Jerome Jones. Jerome, you asked me to call you Jerome, sir. It seems a little too informal. Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Thank you. It's great to be with you. And first, let me say that we're not for thousands, hundreds, if not thousands, of E4s, E2s, E1s, E7s. I wouldn't be a general. So as you well know, the heart of any service runs on its NCOs. And so it's my honor to know you and pleasure to chat with you.
Well, I was one of those, I guess I didn't start as a buck private. I had a couple of years of college, so I didn't start as a E0 or whatever. I think I was an E2, E3, but I had the opportunity. I enlisted and served during the first Persian Gulf War, and it ended relatively quickly, sir. And I found my duty. I was a 91 Bravo combat medic, and I found my duty was entirely stateside. My unit didn't get sent, so I didn't get sent. But you were part of Colin Powell's staff during that first Persian Gulf War. Is that correct, sir?
Yes, that's correct. I was in charge of an organization who was in charge of national military strategy, among other things, and got involved in the strategic planning for the conflict, the first Gulf War, which I still think was a decent war done with for the right reasons and carried out in the right way. But it was an honor to work for Colin Powell. It was certainly one of the highlights of my 29 years in the Air Force. Terrific guy, and it's too bad that he has gone on, but what a great man he was.
Well, Jerome, a mutual friend, or at least a friend of mine, introduced me to you. And the topic that we're going to talk about, or at least we'll get to it now, the January 6th hearing, sir. And, you know, I noted in something you emailed, I'm going to quote you to you, sir. I swore to defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Never imagined that the domestic threat would be the greatest threat to our republic in my lifetime. But here we are. Indeed, Jerome, here we are.
Yes, and I'm referring back to the Cold War, where at the heart of the Cold War, I was an FB-111 pilot, and I sat on alert in the middle of the cold winters in Plattsburgh, New York, with six hydrogen bombs strapped to my butt, ready to do damage to the Soviet Union. But I never thought we would have to do that, because the Russians, or the Soviets, I should say, at least were rational people, and we pretty much all agreed on what the facts were. They had 25,000 nuclear weapons. We had 25,000 nuclear weapons. It would be stupid for either side to use those. But with the current Republican Party, particularly with the Trump part of that party, whatever it is, I don't know how we deal with them, because they're not rational, and they don't agree on any facts that I am aware of, that I agree with.
Now, there was a lot of contention, and I watched some of the Fox News coverage after the fact, and they continuously say, well, the intelligence existed. They knew the something bad could be coming down the pike. Why didn't the military act with more vigor? And we'll obviously see more evidence as these January 6th hearings come down, but it is my understanding it was the vice president trying to direct a response. And it was the White House that very much was politicizing the response. Obviously, they might have been differently motivated, sir.
Yeah, and I had known that Vice President Pence made that phone call. I guess After he had spent 4 years with his nose solidly up the keister of the president, he decided to grow a spine. But let's give him credit for that. It sort of interested me because I'm very familiar with the National Security Act of 1947, amended in 1984, and again added to in 1988 with the Goldwater-Nichols Act, how that lines up with what the national command authorities are. And that means, how do orders in fact get passed down? My understanding of, unless it's changed, is they go from the president to the Secretary of Defense. The vice president is not in that chain necessarily. You know, if the president were not available to do that, the vice president could, before the vice president, to make that unprecedented call and for General Milley to accept those orders, I found astonishing. I'm very happy they did. I think General Milley had made the decision that Trump wasn't stable, and he had in fact talked to his Chinese counterpart, perhaps his Russian counterpart, to let them know that there would be no nuclear action, no military action, particularly nuclear action, at the command of this president while he was chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. So I found that an extraordinary thing that Trump would completely abandon his oath of office. He's the commander-in-chief of all the armed forces. It was only he or the president's office who could, in fact, initiate the National Guard, and he failed to do that. And thank goodness that Vice President Pence did have the courage in that moment to make that decision. But I was astonished by that whole series of events that had the vice president making that call.
Folks, you are listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Got a fine guest. He is retired Brigadier General Jerome Jones. He joins us live via Zoom, and we've been talking about the January 6th. A digression, sir, but the testimony of the, the Capitol Police officer, the Edwards, and she put sort of a human face on what was happening outside the Capitol. And maybe it's secondary to the greater coup plot, as I would describe it. But the carnage, she described it like hand-to-hand combat for hours. Sir, I don't think many people have experienced exactly what that's like. The videotape, I think it was chilling. I think it had to move some people if they hadn't been exposed prior. What was your impression of what was happening outside the Capitol that day?
A couple of things. First of all, enormous courage by those Capitol Police. And I have to say, serving 4 years in the Washington area, I probably had a view of both the Pentagon civilian police force and the Capitol Police force as people who may not answer the call when the call came, but she did. And she did in spades, and they did. And they fought courageously. And it was a battle for which they're not trained for. She said, we're trained to handle crowds and to tell people not to do things and pick up papers and those kind of things. But they fought hand-to-hand combat for a long time. And Crude, one of the things that was surprised me that I didn't realize is the timeline when the Proud Boys and the Oath Keepers first do a reconnaissance around the Capitol, decide where the weak points are, and begin to enter the Capitol. It's only after they have begun that process that the president goes down to the ellipse, fires up the crowd, sends them down to the Capitol. He says he's going to lead them, but of course, Trump is a coward, if nothing else. And so there was no way he was going to lead them down there, because I believe that Trump knew there was going to be violence. In fact, he intended for there to be violence. And so I was just amazed at the Capitol Police, and really have a great respect for them. I have no respect for their leadership. I don't know who was leading them at that time, who was in charge, but they were doing a fairly terrible job. As I looked around, I kept looking, so where are the sergeants? Where are the captains and the colonels? Nowhere to be found. Those policemen and women were out there right by themselves and put their lives in danger and gave us enough time probably to save at least Pelosi's life, if not Trump.
Jerome, how troubling is it to you, sir, that so many of these Proud Boys, so many of these Oath Keepers are former military? And you can see the videotape, the stack formations, the different things that you would do in a war zone. You would go and do reconnaissance. You would find the weak perimeter. You would go and do flanking. It seemed as if there were multiple formations that were attacking these weak points and creating different, almost like a pincer move. So It very much seemed like these guys were using their former military training for malfeasance. How troubling is that, sir?
It's very troubling. I think if you have an appreciation from where we recruit these fine young men and women like yourself, they come primarily from the South, from places like West Virginia, from the Midwest, and so they tend to grow up in conservative environments. And so they tend to be, like most of the country that grew up in those areas, they tend to be conservative. And so sadly, they can be drawn to something like the Oath Keepers or the Proud Boys. And who knows what success they had in the military. They could be frustrated. I have to say that with my FB-111 reunions, which occur about every 2 or 3 years, the FB-111 was a very lead aircraft. All the officers had college degrees, most of them graduate degrees. When I went to my last reunion, and it will be my last one, I suspect, I found most of them were Trump supporters. And I was appalled by that. I will never quite understand that. People who dedicated their lives to preserving the country and observing this oath and meeting out all sorts of harsh punishment on people like E4s who do the things that can be considered almost minor, how they then could support someone like Donald Trump. I have no answer for that question. It's disappointing.
And this is just theoretical. I'm just thinking quickly. You tell me how far off I am. But you talked earlier about the chain of command. The military has a very definitive, you go ask your boss who asks his boss who asks his boss. Well, it's almost patriarchal. And I think there has been sort of a blending. A lot of the people that weren't part of the Oath Keepers and whatever in that crowd, that mob, there was still a lot of white nationalism. There were still a lot of outside forces in that group. There were a lot of people that came knowing that something was amiss, even if they didn't have the clear vision of what the plan was. How scary is this for the future of our nation, sir, if we have these sort of fomenting groups? They go meet at this January 6th. Some are serving time in a D.C. jail together, but the bonds are growing stronger. The alliances are getting stronger right now.
Well, it's very frightening. You know, you hesitate to use the term fascism these days or talk about a fascist movement, but you have to say that the idea of a strong leader with a virulent nationalism, a white supremacy, those things we've all seen in our world before, and they're represented by many of the people that were on the grounds that day that attacked the Capitol. And it is very frightening to me to think that many Americans of all educational levels, all economic levels, thought that the right thing to do was attack the Capitol and stop an election. And one of the things I loved about the presentation last night, particularly from Congresswoman Cheney, and I worked with her father closely for 2 years, but she laid it out very clearly. Donald Trump led that. He organized it, and it was his responsibility. He gathered the crowd together, had them march down to the Capitol. He was responsible for that. She made that loud and clear. And so I hope that comes through, and I hope that has some sort of mitigating influence on people who are beginning to think like that, that white supremacy, that this virulent nationalism is un-American. And of course, the president carried out so many unconstitutional and illegal things that day. I hope they find a way to indict him. My guess is they're going to. I thought it was so many things that were important. One of the things that I had not realized, apparently in her Congressman Cheney's words, multiple congressmen had gone to ask for pardons. I find that shocking. I'd like to know who those were. May get them elected this days in America. That might be a badge of honor.
Jerome, before we run out of time, just a couple minutes left. There has been reporting that it was considered martial law, using the military to seize the voting boxes, perhaps forcing re-elections or whatever their scheme was. If the president had ordered it and it came down the chain of command, do you have any doubt that the E2s, the E4s, the grunts like me would have been out there in the field doing whatever our boss told us to do?
I have no doubt that Chairman Joint Chiefs of Staff would have not carried forth with that order. He had already told the Chinese and had told the Russians, I think the Russians, I'm not clear about that, but his Chinese counterpart, that he would not carry out an order from the president to do any kind of attack on them. So that order would not have been carried down. It could have only come through the National Guard. And again, he would have had to nationalize the National Guard. I don't think it would have been possible for the military to do that. Had they done that, I would have been one of the most disappointed and disillusioned people in America.
Well, you know, I keep threatening to move to Canada, sir. Hopefully that will not be a necessity. Retired Brigadier General Jerome Jones, very nice to meet you. So glad you joined us here on the Devil's Advocates.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. We'll come back. More Devil's Advocates. Phone lines open. 844-967-2789.
For my military knowledge, the right lackey and adventure has only been put down to the beginning of the century. The still amount of vegetable, animal, and mineral. I the very bottle of the body of energy. Right to washing, building, bathing, public uniform, and the detail of the
The Devil's Advocates, love the fix for political junkies everywhere.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Friday edition. Want to thank our most recent guest, the fine one, retired Brigadier General Jerome Jones. Seemed like a very thoughtful guy. Appreciate his perspective on what happened at the J6, the initial hearing last night. I know so many of you watched or listened right here on Devil Radio. Fancy Brian, I don't normally talk inside baseball, but for a rando Thursday night, man, we had great listenership yesterday. This audience is engaged. People do care about this topic. People that could have been streaming that thing on CNN or whatever last night, they were listening on the Devil Radio app. And they're the real patriots. I love those people. So thank you if you listen. Thank you if you're listening right now. And I thank you most of all if you participate at 844-967-2789. We're going to take your calls, get your reactions. James Santel, former U.S. attorney. Can't wait for Jim. And Dominic's going to join at 4, but you could join right now. Now would be a good time, in fact. Fancy Brian, in the interim, while we're letting Evan stack up some calls, let's get back to the sound of what happened last night. And also, we got some reaction from the president, the current one, Joe Biden, the one that's probably not subject to, you know, pending indictment, let's just say. I want to go back to Liz Cheney, a little more from Cheney. Cut number 30, if you would, Fancy Brian, the congresswoman from Wyoming.
You will hear new details about the Trump campaign and other Trump associates' efforts to instruct Republican officials in multiple states to create intentionally false electoral slates and transmit those slates to Congress, to the Vice President, and the National Archives, falsely certifying that Trump won states he actually lost.
You know, here in the great state of Wisconsin, that's sort of a pertinent issue. We had false Trump electors. And by we, I mean this state was darkened by false Trump electors. Everyone from Andrew Hitt, who at the time was the Republican Party chairman in the state, to Bob Spindell, a Republican representative on the freaking Wisconsin Elections Commission. And my understanding is Hitt has been subpoenaed by the January 6th committee. Two of the 10 false Trump electors from Wisconsin have been. And I hope we hear more just through the hearings. And the hearings, they're going to relaunch on Monday. And guys, I think we got to do them live right here on Devil Radio. Without commercial interruption, we'll take your normal fine hosts around the commentary. These will start, my understanding, at 9 o'clock Central Time. So we'll play them starting Monday the 13th at 9. They take off Flag Day for, you know, Dom and Trump's birthday, apparently. And then the 15th and the 16th, 3 days next week. And then, again, the following week on June 21st, mid-morning, 9 o'clock, Central Time start. And then on the 23rd, it will wrap up. My understanding, Adam Kinzinger is going to have a big part of that. The other Republican on this, I guess you got to call it a bipartisan panel, although that's not how they were describing it on Foxy News last night. A little more with Liz Cheney. I think it was a plot. That's what she told me. Cut 31.
You will also hear about plots to commit seditious conspiracy on January 6th, a crime defined in our laws as conspiring to overthrow put down, or destroy by force the government of the United States.
Did you catch that? When Dick Cheney's daughter is saying there was a plot, a conspiracy to overthrow the government of the United States, I don't think she's just throwing those words out to be hyperbolic. She was very litigious in her presentation. Now, they were making fun of her over on the Fox News. Yeah, well, I should give her some teleprompter reading lessons. You know, because it's all teleprompter. More from Liz Cheney, if you'd be so kind, Fancy Brian. Cut 32, the summoning of the violent mob. Who did that?
You will hear how President Trump summoned a violent mob and directed them illegally to march on the United States Capitol.
One more from Liz Cheney. I think she was at her best last night. Cut 33. Invasion plans? Sorry.
Intelligence available before January 6th identified plans to, quote, invade the Capitol, occupy the Capitol, and take other steps to halt Congress's count of electoral votes that day.
You know, they made a big issue. I watched some of the Fox News postgame coverage. Laura Ingraham specifically, you know, between the Mike Lindell, My Pillow, My Slipper ads. There were multiple Mike Lindell ads. They were effectively wondering, you know, why did they respond to this intelligence? Who failed to properly, you know, man the battlements? And why is it all Nancy Pelosi's fault? Above and beyond that, this J6 hearing here was one of Laura Ingraham's main criticisms. Effectively, if I understood her, it was that we're broke. There are homeless people in the street. America is crumbling. Homeless drug addicts on the street, puking and dying and stuff. Who's paying for the J6 production? We're broke, right? I'm thinking, really? Like, we're going to solve all of society's ills if we just didn't have the J6 hearings. If we just didn't squander, you know, a couple hundred grand. You guys squandered more than ad revenue by not playing ads last night so your audience wouldn't flip during the commercial breaks. 844-967-2789. Got to find former U.S. attorney coming soon, James Santel. What's that, Fancy?
I'm just saying nobody puked in alleys before this January 6th investigation. Not one.
Now everyone's out there doing the drugs and, you know, pouring the streets. Wisco Paul, welcome. Did you watch last night?
Absolutely. In fact, I listened to your station and had the sound turned down on the TV. So
I love you, Paul. Double take. You're the greatest.
Oh, thank you. Hey, I'll very quickly, because I know you're running up against it here. I hate to say this, but I was totally impressed with Liz Cheney. Trump is guilty. He's a liar. And it couldn't get any more obvious than that last night's hearing. But Liz Cheney, I can't say enough good about her, Cody. So thanks for taking my call.
I know. It almost kind of wrecks your weekend a little bit, doesn't it, Paul? Eric, I see you there, calling in from Lodi. If you could be patient, we'll take you at the top of the next hour, the happy hour. We got James Santel joining. We got Dominic joining. All of you fine folks out there listening in Radio Land, love to hear from you today. Today is your day to react. It's a Friday. We air the grievances up in here. Are you angry? Were you not satisfied? I thought it was pretty damn good. And Liz Cheney, I got to tell you, I got mixed emotions because I've got a new appreciation for Dick Cheney's daughter and a new appreciation for the criminality alleged by Liz Cheney towards the former president of the United States. Devil's Advocate, the happy hour, the Friday edition.
The ring of fire, the ring of fire, the ring of fire, the ring of fire.
President Trump summoned the mob, assembled the mob, and lit the flame of this attack.
Oh my God, we're burning alive!
Sedition!